the best coaches in the game, huh? We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the slap chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is top. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got...
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the DFS Army Bold Call Fantasy Football Podcast. Today is one of my favorite episodes ever because we are doing a Dynasty Rookie Mock Draft. We're ranking the Dynasty Rookie class. This is important stuff for my Dynasty League fanatics. With me, as always, a man who studies more rookie NFL film than he does porn. And this dude consumes porn like nobody's business. Season Long says, what's up, Alan Sislowski?
I'm trying to fight the addiction, both of them. I'm having a problem.
There's a lot of tape study at your house. Sometimes it's adult tape study and sometimes it's not. I know how it goes.
You know, it's funny. You hear tape study a lot, like the words tape study. Like, I don't think anyone under 35 even understands what tape, that word tape comes from. There's no more tape.
There is
or
no
film,
more tape.
Or film no. Or anything like that. It's, you know,
tape. Can you imagine like studying the tape? You know, you'd be cutting up back in the day. You didn't have all the digital like abilities to watch game tape like in a second. You'd have to, you know, you'd have to like get film. You'd have to call places and be like, hey, send me the film. And then these big reels of shit would show up and be like, yeah. You have to. Anyway, he's studying a lot of tape. Back in the day, you had to go to movie theater for the other kind of adult tape study and have it for the house. So, you know, times are more convenient now. All right.
Pee Wee Herman style.
Totally. We are breaking down the rookie class. Very important. If you're in a dynasty league, you want to know, who should I take? Rashad Bateman? Should I take Taraji Marshall? We're gonna clear that up for you.
Yeah. We're going to tell you exactly the order you should take them in, what the advantages are, what the disadvantages are. And speaking of advantage...
There we go. You did transition. We are brought to you today by our sponsor, No House Advantage, where you could play props for cash. Risk little, win big, no salary cap, no points restriction, and you create your advantage versus other users, not the house. So what does that all mean? It means in No House Advantage, you essentially create a giant parlay. You're not playing against the casino. The house always wins. But in the case of No House Advantage, the player always wins. And that's the beautiful thing about their system. You're not playing against other players. You're playing against other people. And basically, the way the game works, and it's very simple. They have just about every player from tonight's NBA slate, as an example. And every prop that you could think of, rebounds, total points, assists, steals. And they set their numbers. Now, one of the lucky things, if you're a DFS Army subscriber, and we love our DFS Army subscribers, is we have projections for these things. So you can go through all these props, spend your time, find the ones that are the most off. You can you set them up. You need to choose 10 props. Your favorite one you set as a 10-pointer, and so on and so forth, down to one. And whoever scores the most points out of their choice of these 10 props at the end of this big GPP-style tournament wins all the monies. And lots of people win. There's lots of winners. You don't have to get them all right, which is why you're not playing against the house, which always wins. Go check this out. No House Advantage. It's a really cool game.
Use code ARMY.
Yeah, use promo code ARMY. They match your first $20. So try it for $20. Play their game tonight. It's really cool. They have it for all sports. And again, if you love props, the DFS Army prop tool and projections are great to actually crush this. You got to put in a little bit of time in order to get it going. Look for your favorite props across the site, but if you put in the effort, you could really win big money tournaments, and there are no sharks in this, so you really have a great chance. No House Advantage, promo code ARMY. Now,
my boy Kevin just popped on and said to check in our stream. What's up, Kevin, man? Thanks for checking us out.
But there we go. We love our live stream viewers. If you guys have any questions over the course of this mock draft breakdown, hit us up. But again, we are talking one QB dynasty, and we're gonna talk about where on top of this mock. There are some spots where we're gonna recommend trying to trade down from, and you might be in better advantage to do this even before the draft. But you know, everybody always wants to trade down, whatever. But we are gonna mention some spots where we believe there's a massive drop off in the rookie class this year, because there really is, and we're gonna go through this as a single QB format. but we'll discuss our rankings of the quarterbacks as well. So those of you who do Superflex, we love Superflex. Cez and I almost exclusively play in Superflex at this point because we think that that's a better format for fantasy football.
Is there any leagues that we do that are one QB anymore? I don't think so.
It's very few. I'm avoiding it. We think it's a better approach to fantasy football. But nonetheless, we know a lot of you guys aren't doing that. So we're going to focus this for all things.
Have we become Superflex snobs?
I don't know if it's a snob. I just think it's a better format. Listen, sometimes things are better. That's it. You know, people used to do waiver priority before they did FOB, right? Waiver priority is worse than FOB. You can't argue otherwise. If you do, you're an asshole and you're wrong. It's that simple.
I mean, it really is that. So then we have become super flex snobs.
Well, I'm also a waiver. I'm also a FOB snob. I'm a FOB snob too.
Yeah. I mean, but that's now accepted practice. But no, you know, it's not.
No, it's not. There are some old school leagues. There are some old. Yeah, it is. It is common practice. Like, you know, thank you, Sleeper, for doing everything right. Sleeper app. Sponsor us. Okay. Let's get into it. So
I think it's like interesting right from the get go here. Like if you're in a one QB league and you have the 101, I'll let you have the first pick, Geek.
I'm taking my first pick, and just to qualify, listen, I like running backs. I like running backs that are going to have a lot of opportunity to shine.
We're assuming PPR, by the way, right?
Does anybody play non-PPR? Of course it's PPR.
Well, there are people that play half PPR.
One of my theories with Dynasty in general is you build your initial dynasty, you try to get a good set of wide receiver talent, long-lasting talent, and then you want to pick up running backs, the short-lasting talent, ideally in these drafts. My number one pick for me, it's Najee Harris. I think that's a pretty comfortable pick. We know he's the only guy on the Steelers. We know he can catch passes. Ben is still there. We've seen Le'Veon Bell. We've seen the Steelers produce really, really high quality running back play. I know that the offensive line is bad, but my number one pick is Najee Harris. I also like him as a person and as a player.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the reason, since you like him as a person, absolutely take him at 101. I mean, that's a very sound strategy.
Well, you know what? Having a sharp mind and being a responsible human being, you know what? Talk to Darius Geis owners. All right? True. This guy ain't beating women. He's not raping. He's a good dude. That's important.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Najee Harris seems to be the consensus 101. You know that's not how I have them ranked, but I cannot give you any good reason why he shouldn't be. He would obviously be my 102, but
you should have went first.
I mean, get him right. Well, for that exact reason, I think it's important to talk about the consensus versus the second. Who I'm going to take at the 102, who I obviously would have taken at the 101, is Travis Etienne out of Clemson, running back. And the reason is simple: is I think you identified correctly that Najee Harris is going to get the unquestioned opportunity. And for running backs, especially rookie running backs, you can't ask for anything better. The issue, if you want to call it an issue, is that the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line was close to the bottom in most metrics last year. And Benny Snell actually led the league, or was close to it, in contact behind the line of scrimmage, meaning that the offensive line was in complete shambles. Now, that doesn't mean Najee Harris is not going to get you 80 yards and a touchdown, but he just might do it on like 27 carries. So, yes, for fantasy football, when you're talking about first contract running backs, obviously Najee Harris is a good, safe bet. But I like Travis's ETN's pass-catching ability, the fact that he's paired with his college quarterback who fed him the rock. And they've already talked about the Jaguars having him working out with the wide receivers to work on his route running. I like him as a Jamaal Charles type of upside player. And we know that those pass catching running backs, every about three pass receptions equals about one running play. So
no,
we
one,
so the opposite way around.
Running plays, three running equals reception. One.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. So that's why I like the upside of Travis Etienne at 102. Sorry about the long explanation.
No, I'm down with Etienne, by the way. I'm down with that as well. Obviously, with Robinson in place over there and having a lot of talent, I don't think you're getting a 20 carries or touches a game guy.
But a 15
you're right.
to 17, but with some pass catches.
I just want 7 or 8 receptions.
Well, I would say 4 to 5 is more realistic than 7 or 8.
I want the 7 to 8. I want Kamara here. But yeah, he could be that. He could be that. All right. So two running backs, first two picks. We're considering Javonte Williams here. Also a very high quality player. Ja'Marr Chase and Kyle Pitts are both on the board as well. I got to tell you, if it's me and I'm sitting here in this spot, again, I always favor the young running back. I am going with Javonte Williams as my number three overall play. I get it. Generational other talent here. But Javonte Williams, I don't think the barrier for him getting a full workload is as high as some others do. I think Melvin Gordon has had a lack of talent for a while. I don't think he's going to be there after this season. My biggest concern with Javonte Williams is the tendency of the Broncos as a team to want to have multiple running backs. And it's not a lock that he will become this three-down workhorse. But he does have the three-down workhorse skill set, and he has the talent and the ability and the body size to be one. So I think he can be a three-down workhorse. We didn't really see that with him, though, in college. So there's a little bit of risk there. But I'm going with Williams because I always need a running back. I considered the other two before making this call.
Yeah, we're in agreement there. And I think Javonte Williams, if somebody took him at two, you know, would be defensible as well. They've already talked about the Denver Broncos, that is, about using a three-person backfield rotation. That doesn't scare me one bit, as you identified all those great traits about Javonte Williams. At pick four, I think I'm going to surprise you a little bit, because I know you think I'm a nut for the tight ends. I love the tight ends, and all is true. But when you're talking about probabilities, and Pitts would have to be this unbelievable outlier to deliver on this, you know. And I like Pitts. I love Pitts. I mean, you know, he's probably going to deliver over the next 5 years. But if I want a better bet at pick four, I'm going to take Ja'Marr Chase, and that's who I recommend listeners to this podcast, to this video, do as well. It's just a better bet to take the elite young wide receiver connected to an elite young arm than it is to take a tight end. Now, if the outlier hits and you get Travis Kelce in year one, I mean, you know, there was, you know, if you took Travis Kelce's best seasons, right? I mean, it's great for a tight end, but it's not an elite tight end. An elite wide receiver season. So
I feel like last season for Kelce was an elite anything season.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that's one season, but I'm saying if you talk about over, and look, Travis Kelce didn't hit in year one, you know, I mean, I know he had some surgeries, and look, a lot of the guys that are the elite tight ends now, they weren't the Hockenson's and Fants, the guys that went in round one. They were, you know, Darren Waller, who was, I think, undrafted or position converted. It was George Kittle who went in the fifth round. Again, you're better off taking the elite wide receiver prospect here, and then like in last year's draft, drafting Cole Kmet in this year's draft, getting Pat Freiermuth. I just think that at the cost that you have to spend, which is a top four pick for the tight end, I'm fading it, taking Ja'Marr Chase. It's certainly in play here at the next pick for you, and I'm curious to see what you're going to do. Do you agree with that, by the way, taking Ja'Marr Chase over Pitts, or you're just going to roll the dice and buy the hype on Pitts?
You know, if I have a team, it really comes down to team need. I think that team need is almost always much more so for tight end.
Yeah, but I don't think team need is, you and I know that team need is never an optimal strategy in the top five picks. Like when your team need in like pick eight, pick 11, maybe. But let's say you have Irv Smith as your tight end. Are you taking Pitts? Are you taking, and but no one has like five great wide receivers. You need, in most leagues where you start three wide receivers, you want three good wide receivers. You know what I'm saying?
I think I'm taking Pitt. I'm taking Pitts there.
All right. Well, that, I'm
taking Pitts ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. I think I've seen enough.
This goes against what you would do though, because last year or 2 years ago, you were anti Hockenson this early. You were anti Noah Fant for sure this early.
I was. Right.
And in so far, you haven't been wrong. Like if you took those guys over AJ Brown that year, you're pissed.
Told you that. But Ja'Marr Chase,
what I'm saying. Now you're flipping your philosophy.
This is the generational talent guy.
They said that about
this again, guy was taken at the top of the first round. Like so was right Hockenson. At the top.
Not this high. He was going at four. Hockenson went at like eight.
Yeah, that's true. But nonetheless, I think in this case.
Did I give you something to think about there though?
No, I mean, yes, but no. Because on the no side, it's just Ja'Marr Chase isn't a lock to be an elite player in the National Football League. We've seen a lot of high pick. If it's a question between a running back and the tight end, I'm going with the running back. These are just both pass catchers. Right. So
Right, but he's also paired with his college quarterback, and that same college quarterback, Joe Burrow, one second. I mean, that 2019 season where they both last played, you had Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, he outproduced Justin Jefferson that year.
Oh, listen, I love Ja'Marr Chase. So
it's not,
I mean,
like a Corey Davis, because I know you always go back to the Corey Davis comparison. Who
it's not just Corey Davis. Mike Williams. I mean, we have a who's who of can't fail.
It's a different body type.
Receivers that have failed.
it's a different type of receiver, though. So anyway, well, I don't think this is wrong.
By the way, this goes back to my conversation with the engineer the other day, where I was saying it seems like it's these giant wide receivers that fail. You know, that bust more because we get so excited about their size, and they can dominate with their size in college. But in so I have a theory about that.
Well, but I was going to say is that sometimes when a prospect of Ja'Marr Chase's size, 6 foot, like 200 and whatever he is, 205
normal size wide receiver, we're
right?
Call him.
Well, but just like for number one, he's not typical alpha size. Alpha size is that he's better at football things.
Yes,
So there we
go. I'm telling you, I have a strong theory about this, that these giants don't need to be that great at route running because they can out physical corners in the college level, but in the NFL that doesn't work. Whereas the 6 foot tall guy, the normal size guy, he needs to get there with his superior talent. So anyway, I love the Chase pick. Don't get me wrong. So fine. Next pick up, Kyle Pitts, Kylie Pitter,
at 105 in a 1QB
105 league. 1QB league. Pitts, generational talent, speed, draft capital above all else, and not a guy who anybody thinks they want to use as a blocker. So he's not a block. He's not going to be out there blocking. He's a draft capital guy, which means they will give him every chance to be successful. And the reality says is that in terms of scarcity of position, and this is why I went this way, in terms of scarcity of position, there are what, 6-5 tight ends that you're kind of happy with right now in the entire NFL in terms of a fantasy producer, maybe 6. So give me Kyle Pitts. And if he becomes one of those top 4 or 5 guys, that is a position of scarcity that you'll have an advantage on your league mates in if he hits. So if a Kelsey gives such a strategic advantage to your team, because every single week you will dominate the tight end, unless you're, you know, for the most part, unless you're going up against a wall or a Kittle on one of his big weeks. But for the most part, you're dominating that position group. So Pitts levels that playing field or gives you a dominant position if he hits. So I think the upside there is much more exciting to me than a Ja'Marr Chase, who if he becomes a top 10 wide receiver, great. But like, okay, there's lots of good wide receivers. There aren't lots of good tight ends.
Fair enough. So this is the point of your 1QB draft that gets interesting. At 106, these are the decisions you have to make. And I'm not going to call out any specific player until I make my pick. But what you need to do is say, the wide receiver talent is better than the running back talent here. But the wide receivers are deeper here. So if you're on the clock at 106, you know at 206, where you pick in the second round, you probably can get a wide receiver you like. There's almost no chance of getting a running back you like here. So those are the type of decisions you have to make. We've already talked about a few minutes ago how I think you always take talent when there's a clear discrepancy over positional need. You disagreed with that a little bit, and I can't fault you for it. But I think this is where the rubber meets the road. So I'm going to take DeVonta Smith because I like him a lot. I know, we know all the reasons why not to like him, the size. But he did produce at an elite level. Sometimes it's not just the anecdotal, he just produced, but it's the magnitude of that sample. He won best college football player as a wide receiver. You know, the Heisman Trophy doesn't just go to wide receivers. He's going to presumably walk. I mean, he's got to be the favorite to get the most targets, right? As a rookie on that team. I mean, who's going to get more targets than Jalen Reagor? Any of the tight ends?
Greg Ward?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could safely project DeVonta Smith for 110 targets. And I think that I would probably still take the over. So
let's talk about DeVonta. Who is he? He's what? DeSean Jackson as a better route runner? Like, is his NFL comparable? He's fast. He's tiny. He's 175 pounds.
Right. Well, he's 6 foot. Right. And he's about 100. He weighed in, I think, 168 pounds.
Very slight.
Yeah, very slight. But in college football at Alabama at the highest levels against dominant cornerbacks. He scored 23 touchdowns. I mean, he knows how to break coverage. He's got good hands at the line of scrimmage. They try to jam him. They couldn't. He's good all over the field. I mean, the knocks on him is that he broke out in his senior year versus, you know, that he didn't break out when Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs were there. But sometimes that happens.
That's how it goes there, too.
Yeah. And he's got the draft capital to go with it. He's going to have the opportunity. People talk about how his slight size would be an outlier, but in the NFL, you and I talked about it with the fantasy football engineer the other day. The rules in the NFL are changing. They're not the same they were a decade ago. They're not the same they were a half decade ago. You cannot breathe on these receivers without being called. He's going to have the opportunity to break free, and when he goes over the middle and catches slants, he's not going to get laid out. I mean, he's not going to break. And
True. Have to adjust. So the one thing I would just add for that pick is, after pick five, I believe we experience a pretty significant drop off. So that this is what I call a tier break. And when I'm sitting at a tier break, a little piece of advice for you guys in your dynasty league, because this is what I do. If I'm at a tier break, I'm trying to trade down. Now, it's very easy and it's almost cheesy. It's easy being cheesy sometimes. And it's almost cheesy to say, oh, trade down during a mock draft. But it's important to understand, again, single QB.
Right, but like trade down for what? Like
trade down to just move three or four picks back
what are you expecting to get? Like the guy, okay, let's say the guy is at 110 and loves Devontae Smith. What are you reasonably expecting to get to move back to 110 from 1-6?
Late second. Or my personal favorite trade is give me your first rounder next year.
Yeah, but he's not, no one's doing that. No one's.
I always try to, yes, they might, especially if you only ask for their second this year. So you're saying no one's doing that. I disagree.
Someone's giving you 110.
Not their first rounder this year.
Okay.
I say, I don't love this draft as much. Here's 1.6. Give me your pick next year. And your second rounder this year.
No, that's good because people don't value the second next year as much as they will. So that's actually a sharp. Yeah. I like that strategy. Not have a first round pick, though, you have to be willing to not have a first round pick this year.
Yeah, you accept it. Or you move to like the top of the second round. Maybe they have it. So I'd look to maybe the guy who already picked one. They picked 1.1. Their team sucks. They want another player. So you're like, hey, their team is pretty shitty. Their pick next year might actually be number one. Let me entice them. I'm going to give you this pick. I'm not even taking another first round from you this year. I just want next year's first.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I like to play off of the fact that some people have a very short-term view. And especially like they have this, I need to win now. You want to take advantage of that in Dynasty and say, all right, give me your pick next year. They think, oh, next year's so far away, I can't even think that far. And, you know, so that's how I like to work a deal anyway, at a break. So that's just how I play Dynasty. Right. And you say you can't.
That you can do. I thought you meant move back to four spots and give me your first next year. That's never happening.
Not right, four spots. No, but my favorite is you move to like pick two in the second round. So it feels like a second round this year and a first next year. But it's really, you know, what's the difference between 110 or 2-2? It's kind of the same thing. Yep. That's another little trick I use. Psychology.
Let's go lightning round. Okay. For the next few picks.
My next pick again. We're in a one QB league where the QBs are downgraded. So with my next pick, you took Devonta Smith. I'm going Jalen Waddle here, wide receiver, Miami. Jalen Waddle might very well be the best wide receiver in this draft. He's got great yak. He's got the size. He's just got the typical profile for a quality wide receiver. The reason my concern, and the reason this is a teardrop, it would not be if he had a great quarterback. The reason this is a teardrop is because A, Miami is kind of flooded now with talent at wide receiver, but B, they lack talent at the quarterback position. I am not convinced that Tua can deliver a quality fantasy football season out of just one wide receiver. Forget about two or three of them, which is what is going on over there right now. Things change in the National Football League quick. You know, we could blink our eyes and Deshaun Watson could be the Miami quarterback and Tua could be on Houston. Makes a lot of sense. It should happen. If that does happen, I put Waddle certainly above Smith. So it's a situational thing for me, but the reason Waddle is here, I'm taking him for talent. I am not excited about his quarterback situation. What say you, Says?
Yeah, no, I obviously I thought about Waddle at the last pick, so that's a good one. All right, this is the point where, again, another point after Devontae Smith and Waddle are off the board when you're at pick, what's it, that was six, we're at eight now, right? So yeah. 1-8, I think there's another decision to be made, okay? So obviously you and I, let's just talk through it with the names. So, you know, we both like Rashad Bateman. We don't like the situation. Okay. So we try to ignore that for fantasy, just like we made the AJ Brown mistake. We said, oh, we love AJ Brown as our wide receiver one. We very cowardly dropped him to like wide receiver seven when he landed in, it was one of our biggest mistakes we've ever made.
And, okay? And because we loved him pre-draft and then said, this is not a good landing spot. Right. Marcus Mariota, a terrible quarterback. Totally. And that's the danger of looking at situation with wide receiver. All of a sudden it's a different guy at quarterback. All of a sudden, you know,
or, you know, everyone, like right now, they hate the Baltimore situation for passing game, but Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, might not be there next year. If the Ravens win the Super Bowl, he might be a head coach. If the Ravens go out early in the playoffs, they might fire his ass.
Maybe they throw more.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And then they bring in a coach who throws more, and then all of a sudden, Bateman, you're pissed that you didn't take him at 1-8. So the decision really is take the most talented wide receiver left, pivot to running backs without first round draft capital. Now, after those first three running backs that we took in the first round, the next ones are not like taking guys that are guaranteed, no matter how good their situation is. It's, I compare it to like people took Keyshawn Vaughn in this spot last year in one QB leagues. Big mistake.
Dangerous.
Taking a right. People took Zach Moss in this spot last year. You know, it's a dicey proposition when you talk about a third round, fourth round running back. So your decision here at the 1-8 is the most talented wide receiver. He has first round draft capital. Obviously, there's a wide receiver with a better situation and Marshall, the one you talked about. Or is it, if like, this is where Kyler Murray went in 2019. Like, is it okay here to take Trevor Lawrence? You know, I think so. Yes. You know, I've been skewered for it universally by the Podfather, but he's come back and apologized and said that actually is not a bad place to take Trevor Lawrence. So I'm making a decision here. If I'm even remotely if I don't have one of the top 12 QBs or the top 9 QBs, I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence. And that's what I'm doing here, because I'm presuming that my best quarterback is Ben Roethlisberger, Kirk Cousins, even Carson Wentz or Tom Brady. I'm taking Trevor Lawrence at 1-8 and getting a plug-and-play dynasty player. And you know, it's not often I say for 10 years, but I'm going to say for 10 years. 108, give me Trevor Lawrence in a 1 QB league.
I have no problem with that pick. Fine with it. Don't love taking quarterbacks here. But again, there is a massive, even after a while, I mean, we just get like a tear break again. It's kind of like, well, who I want. I could probably make an argument now for this next pick. I can make an argument for multiple players. Even a running back in Trey Sermon that I think is a viable selection here. Multiple players.
So we're at the 109. Who you got?
Are we at 109? Yeah. I'm taking Rashad Bateman, and here's the reason why. Again, draft capital, check. No competition on the team, check. I think part
Hollywood,
of this
Hollywood Brown.
No,
that's Mark not Andrews.
No competition. Mark Andrews is a tight end. Every team has a tight end. And Hollywood Brown has shown himself to be a one-trick pony a little bit in terms of what his skill set brings to the table. So I actually believe that Rashad Bateman, part of the reason that the Ravens' passing offense had trouble was because of a lack of talent of this type. I think Bateman fills a massive, massive hole for the Ravens in what he can do, his size and his prototypical, they couldn't complete passes to Mark Andrews in the red zone because everybody knew they were going to Andrews. It was so obvious. So now there's going to be another act because Brown just was not a threat in that part of the field. So Bateman will bring that to this team. I think he can be a touchdown catcher, but more importantly, I just think he's going to have opportunity. I actually think he'll have a decent first season.
Yeah. I mean, all that is defensible. I definitely thought about him at the last pick. All right, so now we're at the 110. There are definitely some wide receivers that I like better than the running backs, but I'm not screwing around right here. I'm at the back end. I like Trey Sermon's upside. He may not, you know, he may not catch a lot of passes at first, but we saw, like, when I'm, you take Trey Sermon, just think about how you thought about all of the running backs in San Francisco. None of them were good for the whole season, but all of them were good for like 3 weeks, and they were all projectable. They weren't like some random guy. This was like, hey, oh, it's Jeff Wilson week. Oh, it's Raheem Mostert week. You were able to project. You knew who was starting. So if I'm taking Trey Sermon here, I'm expecting 3 to 5 weeks of usable RB2, low-end RB1 production. I'm going to take him. You never have enough running backs on your roster. Do you agree with the pick?
Yeah, I don't mind it here. I think Sermon is the next best running back, and his situation is probably better than others. I don't think anybody's established in San Francisco. I don't think Raheem Mostert is established. He gets hurt all the time.
He's also 29 years old. He probably won't be on the roster there. Next year.
Wilson Jr. Everybody seems to look good in that offense too.
Matt Breida looked good. Jerick McKinnon looked good.
Everybody looks good whenever they play. So that is a team that produces well, and they're not settled at running back. Is there risk here? Yes. But again, this is a weird draft where I could probably have 8 or 9 names that all fit in this spot right here. So most people are running back starved, and for that reason, most people are going to make the call here, take the running back, give me my shot. Yes, there are a couple of wide receivers that are interesting here, but in the end of the day, this running back, if he works out, is going to be worth more to me than some of the WR2 style guys that are floating around. This is not a great wide receiver class on paper. We'll see what happens in real life, but on paper, to me, so might as well take the shot on the running back, or again, I'd be looking heavily to trade down or for that future pick, wait for a better draft class to come out. But if I'm not able to do it, I'm totally fine with the Trey Sermon pick there. And right. I believe he's the correct pick over Michael Carter, who I don't like as much. Trey Sermon can be a starting running back. That's the difference.
So we're up to so Devontae Smith was 6, Waddle was 7.
I took
Trevor Lawrence at 8. You took Bateman at 9. I took Sermon at 10. So we're on the. You're on the clock at 1.11.
All right, I'm on the clock, 1.11. I'm going with my guy, Taraji Marshall, Carolina Panthers wide receiver. I picked him over a couple of other names that might even have some interesting potential, just because I think Marshall is the most talented wide receiver left. He is the most traditional. He projects as an outside wide receiver. He's got size. He's got the build type and the talent that I think will eventually shine through. And it's interesting. I think he might be more highly touted if it wasn't for the fact that we look at a team like the Panthers and say, well, you know, they have DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, but I don't think Robbie Anderson's a long-term fit. I also don't think that Sam Darnold is a long-term thing. So I think the Marshall pick here is already I'm going to let him roast on my bench. This is not a guy I'm expecting to help my team this year. I'm going to let him roast on my bench for a couple of years and hope that he emerges. The talent comes through here in the next couple seasons.
Yeah. I mean, Robbie Anderson's contract, basically they can get out of it for no penalty after this year. So I'm not expecting him. I mean, he could be back on the roster as he has that connection to Matt Rhule from Temple, Robbie Anderson's days at Temple, not synagogue, but Temple.
You know, yeah. There we go.
Yep.
That was pick 11. So
you missed my joke, but that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
I got
fine.
It. The Temple.
All right. Number 12 is a no brainer for me. It seems that you don't love Michael Carter. I do. I almost took him instead of Trey Sermon just because of his opportunity and his pass catching ability. Now hear me out on this one. Michael Carter was the backfield mate, as we all know, of Javonte Williams at North Carolina. Did you know that who had more rushing yards? I'm setting you up for an easy question.
I'm aware that it was Michael
Carter actually outrushed, out efficiencied everything with Javonte Williams. Now, at his size, he profiles definitely more like a James White than a three down back. I believe he's 5'8" and like 200 pounds, but he does have pretty good requisite size. And you know, who's he competing with? Tevin Coleman and LaMichael Perine? The opportunity is there. He was a steal in the 4th round. He can do all the rushing things and catching things. Now, I'm never expecting Michael Carter to be an RB1, but you need RB2s on your team. So if Michael Carter can finish as like RB16, RB14, RB20, and fill a hole for you in that flex spot or second running back, if that's just, you know, when a running back goes down, that is worth a first round pick. He's going to produce right away. I love him at the 112.
I'm not going to argue with it. I have concerns about his size and him ever becoming a workhorse. But you know, that's not what you're drafting NFL, for. You're not going to have that many workhorse running backs. If he can settle into a really, really exciting, again, we all talk about the Alvin Kamara role of being on the field for 16 touches or so.
I think more of the James White role is bet. Is
James White is you don't want that. You're not happy if you get.
And you're in James White's peak. He was like the zero RB guy. Like he was the guy that gave you 12 fantasy points, locked and loaded every week. And maybe some weeks, like okay, let me give you an example that might get you a little more excited. Maybe like a Danny Woodhead type of running back.
Listen, again, those are great examples. If you could emerge in that role. That's perfectly fine. You know, but there's the downside is like Philip Lindsay on the Broncos, you know, for all those years, but just Lindsay, getting half the touches.
Lindsay didn't get respected because he was an undrafted guy that yeah. I'm hearing an echo, by the way, from your speaker.
Oh, that's not ideal.
Yeah. So just turn down the volume there. Anyway. All right. You're so let's really zip through.
I'm going to surprise you with my first pick of round two.
Go for it.
With the number one pick in round two of my dynasty single QB rookie draft, I'm taking Trey Lance, quarterback, San Francisco 49ers, running specialist for the upside. I believe that Trey Lance has top three overall fantasy QB upside if he hits. You've described him as the best, like his upside as the best version of Colin Kaepernick. I think that's fine. I'll take that any day. If he hits, I believe he could be a difference maker, a top three or four quarterback for your dynasty league for many years to come. That is worth a shot on a quarterback. Again, we downplay quarterbacks as a general. I don't need the Matthew Stafford types. I don't care. They're available on waivers, but you give me a Lamar Jackson style quarterback who maybe could be even better with his arm. I'll take that all day. Give me Trey Lance. Yeah. I wish I had a rap for Trey Lance. I keep
You'll think of it.
I'll have one for next time.
Meanwhile, I love that pick, by the way. I love that pick. It's a no-brainer in a one QB league.
By the way, he will not be ranked there in anybody's rankings. This is one of the beautiful things. If you're following what we're doing here, you're going to get Trey Lance.
Like I would have taken him over Terrace Marshall too, just so you know.
Yeah, in fairness, I want that pick back. I think I would take him.
Right, and I think you would too. That's why
he's a difference maker.
Right, because like you're at like 111, unless you have one of those six elite running quarterback, then maybe I wouldn't like it, but it would have to be that I had Mahomes, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, or even if I had Justin Herbert, I would still do it, I think. And then
do this just for the trade value if he turns into something special.
Trading one of your other guys. Like you don't even have to trade Trey Lance. Like let's say you have like Dak Prescott and you really believe in Trey Lance there. Dak is one of the few quarterbacks that you could trade in one QB leagues. Like you can't trade QBs in one QB leagues because everyone has at least Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins, but you can trade
that. You hope,
you know what I'm saying? Like, so someone it's the worst guy, the worst QB situation in your 12 team league has Baker Mayfield. This is quarterback one. Yeah. That's the guy with the worst situation. So he's the guy that you could trade, you know, let's just something better for Dak or whatever, but you get the point
or this guy. But yeah. So, you know, given a redux, I probably would take him over Marshall as I rethink this, but I'm going to, we're sticking with what we did. So
do you remember, by the way, the other day I told you I am in a tight end premium league, a two tight end premium league. I offered the other guy Trey Lance for George Kittle.
In a super flex?
Yeah, super flex, tight end premium, where you get double PPR for tight ends. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm desperate for tight end.
That's a fair offer.
And he rejected it, though. He rejected
that's
it.
That's on him.
Yep.
I think that was a fair offer.
Yeah, the deal that we got done was I gave him my second round next year for Robert Tonyan.
Works also.
I think that's a better value for me.
That's a way better value for you. And you get to keep Trey Lance. Are you kidding me?
Plus,
he's selling Tonyan based on probably incorrect assumption that Rodgers won't be with the Packers next year, which I think is wrong.
It's his third. He also has Goddard, so it's his third tight end.
But nonetheless, let me sell this guy before the news comes out that Rodgers won't play there.
Right.
But now, if Rodgers does play there, then you won that. You know, yeah.
Right. So it's worth it. And even if he doesn't, Tonyan's still like a startable tight end. But anyway, let's get back to the action. I mean, you read my brain. You already know what my next pick is. There's no other pick in the world that I would make here at the 2-2 in a 1QB league. And it's Justin Fields, man. For the all of the reasons that you just named, I'm not going to rehash them. Let's move on. I mean, got the upside to be a top five quarterback in the league.
Same thing. So right at the top of your second round, guys, or even at the end of the first round,
take those QBs in one
now,
QB leagues.
Let me just tie this into Superflex for a second. These are 1, 2, and 3. So
and four with Zach Wilson.
I don't know about Zach Wilson 4, but I know for sure that I want in your Superflex Dynasty League, it goes Lawrence. Then you can make your call. I'm going to go Lance and then Fields. You can go Fields and then Lance, however you want to do it. I'm not going to say personally that I have Zach Wilson as number 4. I don't. But I think your top three are very, very clear in your Superflex. And here we are in single QB. These guys are either first rounders right at the end or right at the top of the second. We're allowing it, whereas in general, we would never be messing with quarterbacks anywhere near this early. But again, this is also a less talented draft class than we saw, certainly way less than last season where you were grabbing Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins still well into the second round. So I'm up next.
At the 2-3.
2-3. All the QBs are off the board.
No, not all of them. Not even
close
to them.
I'm not taking Zach Wilson here. So I don't believe...
Don't say all the QBs are off the board. It's not a true statement.
Well, most of them. Most of them.
Fair enough.
So here is where I'm going with Elijah Moore, wide receiver, New York Jets. I just like the situation with the Jets. They seem to have a lot of talent at wide receiver now, but do they? I don't know. I like, they really wanted this guy. He fits right into this team. Give me Elijah Moore here. Do I love him that much more than a lot of these other guys? No, it's really for me between Moore and Kadarius Toney, and Kadarius Toney has some flaws that I think are concerning. So I'm going to go with Moore, who's a more complete wide receiver.
Yeah, fair enough. All those reasons. It's exactly who I would have there as well, except I don't have Tony as my next player. For me, I am taking Rondale Moore on the Arizona Cardinals. He's short. He's about 5'8", 5'9", but he is one... I'm going to use the craziest comparison. So don't compare him to the original Steve Smith, but he has that dog fight in him. If you watch some of even just the YouTube highlights, right, which is good enough for this particular player, you watch him. He delivers the punch to the cornerbacks. He could have like a Deebo Samuel type of role from his rookie season where he gets a couple rushing attempts too. I'm not expecting like a ton from him in year one just based on there are a lot of mouths to feed there, but he's going to be on the field in Cliff Kingsbury's 5 wide receiver sets. I really like him a lot. I think that, again, he is never going to be like a wide receiver 1 for more than, maybe he'll have one of those, but he's going to be a wide receiver 2 for the next half decade as long as he stays healthy. And you need those players on your roster. So I'm locking in, and he's most importantly, we know what the quarterback situation is going to be there for the next half decade. So Rondale Moore, Tony certainly has the upside there, which I'm assuming will be your next pick. But what do you think about those two? Because Rondale Moore would be your next pick, I'm sure, after Tony.
Listen, I have concerns about the size of Moore. I just do. And I've never seen somebody of that size.
But he's built. He's built.
He is, still but, like close but to what, he's a wide receiver. He's not playing running. He's playing a position where size matters. And so I've never seen it. So I think he could be a special player. But, you know, the fact that he's even in the NFL is a special thing. Who was the tiny point guard that made
Muggsy Bogues?
Yeah, he's like Muggsy Bogues. Like, you have to be so good to even be in the NFL. And he has draft capital and everything. So I don't have any problem with it. I think it's speculative. I think we're in a speculative part of the draft. The bust potential is very high for Rondale Moore. But if he doesn't bust, I think you get... what you said, his upside isn't a WR1 for your fantasy team, but it's a fun, gadgety WR2, bottom of the WR2. He's on a team that's good, that's a fun offense to be a part of. So, and they don't have wide receivers on that team. So there is opportunity there. Let's see what happens. I don't hate the pick. Right. I don't hate the pick.
So you're up at the 2-5.
So at the 2-5, I'm going to hold my nose and pick Kadarius Toney. And the reason I'm holding my nose is twofold. He's a first-round pick. He's a first round draft pick. So he's got the draft capital. He will have opportunity to be a real player on your fantasy team. No one else in this zone is that. So at the very least, we have this draft capital. I have concerns. I've read reports. I don't study tape like you, but the reports that I've read about Kadarius Toney question his ability to run crisp routes. They say that the team that he came from was very happy with like more of a go deep, do what you want. I'll find you if you're open type situation, and not 100%, but where he's not known as a crisp route runner. I don't think that not being a non-crisp route runner translates well to the National Football League. I think that's something you could pull off in college, but it doesn't translate to the pros. So Kadarius Toney, though, he has the draft capital, and I'm going to hold my nose and pick him here because what the hell do I know? That kind of thing. Like, maybe he's good and I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I think that just the first round draft capital alone should get him. The knock on him is that he, you know, he didn't play wide receiver in high school. He was a quarterback. So he converted in college to wide receiver. He didn't break out until his senior year, but you know, he is an electric athlete. So, and he was picked in the first round. Most importantly, could he end up being this year's Brandon Ayuk, the first round draft capital wide receiver that gets picked in the second round of your rookie drafts? I like it. I mean,
got to take it. We're in the middle of the second round. Like, you're either getting third, you know, or very flawed second round pick prospects or flawed third rounders. Or here's the last guy who was taken in the first round who's going to have all the draft capital. Got to go totally. For it.
So I'm just deciding between taking a tight end here. I'm deciding between taking, you know, obviously Zach Wilson. Yeah, we'll get there. I'm deciding between taking Zach Wilson, who I still think of very highly, but it's really come down to there's two wide receivers I like left. So if I'm right here, we're at 2-6 now.
2-6. Okay.
Yep. So there's two wide receivers I like here. And even though most rankings have Amon-Ra St. Brown ahead of Amari Rodgers, I'm going to take Amari Rodgers. I like the spot he's in. Green Bay got their peak Randall Cobb again, right? I mean, Amari Rodgers just looks amazing, you know, coming out of Clemson, playing with Trevor Lawrence before that, now playing with Aaron Rodgers. He has the opposite issue that Allen Robinson had, right? Playing with all garbage quarterbacks his whole career. He's played with Trevor Lawrence, and now he's playing with Aaron Rodgers, presumably. So Amari Rodgers, I like a lot. He's going to get the opportunity, and listen, he's the only offensive player that Aaron Rodgers has gotten with, you know, the earliest draft capital. So he's a third round receiver. I'm taking him right here. And again, I'm not looking for a wide receiver one. I'm looking for a middle of the road to high end wide receiver two production for his career.
Listen, you can't go wrong with the WR2 for Aaron Rodgers. That's been a very until they've had this group of ne'er-do-wells that they've had the last couple seasons, because for some reason, the management in Green Bay wants to fuck over their quarterback for no, like, oh, he's great. Let's give him garbage wide receivers and see how good you are now. Like, I don't even understand what they're doing in Green Bay. And I understand why Aaron Rodgers is pissed, because he's like, UDFAs are, I'm throwing a bunch of UDFAs over here. Why can't you draft fucking wide receiver?
Hold on. Let's keep this thing on the rails and try to get it tight for the people that came in. So let's just zip through the 2-8, 2-9, 2-10.
I'm still pissed.
20 seconds, 20 to 30 seconds on each pick for the rest of this draft, and we'll wrap it up. You're up at the 2-8.
You don't want to hear my Aaron Rodgers rant. That's the problem.
Well, we'll come back to it. Right. We'll come back to it. But we want to keep this thing tight.
You took Amari Rodgers 2-6. I'm taking
at 2-7. You're up
2-7. At 2-8, I'm taking the tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Patty Freiermuth. Steelers have been a team that has done good things with their tight end position. They produce well. Freiermuth, a pass catcher, much more so than a straight blocker type. He's got the draft capital. So give me Freiermuth.
So tight end, here you
Pittsburgh
go.
Steelers here.
And I agree with the pick, but this is what I'm saying. So instead, if you're picking at 1-4 and 2-4, isn't it better not to take Kyle Pitts to get your running back, your receiver there, and then take, or you took him at 2-5 and just take Patty Freiermuth?
No, because Patty Freiermuth has a much higher bust potential. We've seen a lot of this type of second round, third round tight end just do fair nothing enough for their career. Pitts is supposed to be a special prospect.
I don't think, we don't have to rehash.
Yeah, I don't think this is the same thing. But I'm taking Patty Frizzles.
Pettifrizzle. Right, all right, 2-9. You left him for me, so I'm going to take him. I'm absolutely going to take Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, he landed in a great spot in Detroit. I know Jared Goff is the quarterback, but it won't be for long. He's, you know, he's going to what he did at USC. He's going to dominate catches. He's going to be a great run after the catch player. I really like Amon-Ra there. He checks all the boxes, does nothing exceptional, but everything very good. And you're going to be very happy at this point of the draft if you get Amon-Ra St. Brown. You're up at the 210.
Well, I'm happy that you took Amon-Ra and you left me my guy, Nico Collins, wide receiver, Houston Texans, available here. And again, Texans, big opportunities spot. So I'm balancing. There could be great players in the National Football League that are sitting on benches somewhere or just never given an opportunity to be successful. Alexander Mattison comes to mind.
Yeah.
So how about Nico Collins on a Texans team? Whereas I don't think they have a quarterback this season. I don't think it's going to be great, but he's going onto a team that does not have any talent at wide receiver, which means he's going to get an opportunity to allow his talent to shine through. Does he have the talent to be successful in the NFL? We'll have to see. He looked great in college. He's got the draft capital, and I like the situation and the team he's on. Eventually, they'll get a quarterback, and they just have to play him because they got no one else.
Great pick. Love it right there. Love it, love it, love it. 211, if you're sitting at the end of the second round, just take Zach Wilson. You know, he's the draft pedigree. Yeah, the draft pedigree is there, and he's probably going to be good for fantasy. You know, either way, for fantasy, he's locked into being the starter for 3 years, no matter what happens. He's getting this year and 2 years after, even if it goes badly, as the second, and probably more. It's probably, I'm talking about if things go badly, he's still going to be good for fantasy. He's still going to get you 16, 18 fantasy points. I have him a lot higher than the geek. I think he's going to be a 24 fantasy point guy right out the back. He's got this, you know, he could run. He can make all the angle throws. I know the competition for him at BYU wasn't elite, but obviously the draft capital says it all. At this point of the draft, just take him. Just take him at 211. You're up at the last pick of our one QB rookie draft. Who do you got?
All right. Last pick, Mr. Irrelevant. I'm going with Dwayne Eskridge. And listen, I've got a lot of qualifications about this guy. I'm not in love with him, but here are the positives. Number one, he's on a Seahawks team that has an old wide receiver in Tyler Lockett at this point on the decline, has no wide receiver three, Freddie Swizzles. That's nothing special. So I think Dwayne Eskridge can slot in. They have had a role for a burner wide receiver for many years, especially now we saw last season with the double teams that were happening on the DK Metcalf that they need somebody else to stretch that field. So I think Eskridge will play this year. I don't love him as a complete wide receiver. He seems more of a burner. He doesn't have a lot of size. There are different questions, but I love the second round draft capital, and that's what I'm going with. I got to trust that teams can evaluate players well enough to know who's good. I'll take the draft capital here. Last pick in the draft.
The only exception I take to that is that Tyler Lockett's on the decline. That they just gave him a 4-year extension.
I mean, he's 29 years old.
28. He's 28. He's in his late peak. You know what he is. Okay. He's a guy that could. He's Will Fuller light. He can win you weeks, or he can score you 6 fantasy points.
He had great weeks last season.
Remember that 50 pointer he put up?
Yeah. Oh, he has had amazing weeks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like and the price is right on him in every format of draft. Like,
yeah,
he's going in like the 7th round.
I like where you can get him this year, and I like what he'll do for you the next couple of years. You have to be aware when you draft Tyler Lockett that he gets you multiple weeks with like sub 10 fantasy points.
To your point though, he's not a target hog by any stretch of the imagination. So there's room for Eskridge there.
Yeah.
So, all right, man, we did our 2-round rookie mock. All right. Why don't we just make it a short outro here. Tell the people about one more time about what we're playing this week with the NBA playoffs are starting, dude. I love the NBA playoffs. It's so exciting this year. And our sponsor, No House Advantage, has amazing NBA prop games. Just talk about what you observed when you went on the site for No House Advantage real quick.
No, I really love it. Like I said, the way they have it set up, you can choose whatever prop you want. So you want to go through each player. If you put the time in, you can go through each player and find those really soft props that they're incorrect about, especially using the DFS Army projection models for NBA players or our props tool over at SportsBet Army, which is really incredible for this stuff. So you know, we might have a guy projected for example, 7 rebounds or 7.5, and the over-under on a particular prop might be 4. So you have a giant advantage there. You want to put that, you can take that prop, pick the over, and set it as the 10-pointer for you. So everybody's team, essentially their prop setup is really different, and you don't have to hit every single one in order to win the tournament. You really...
And most importantly, by the way, use promo code ARMY when you go over there and they'll match the first $20. You put in $20, they'll give you $20 to play with.
That's all I'm suggesting doing. Yeah. Go over there, use promo code ARMY, play it a couple times. It's a cool game. No
NBA, play it for NBA playoffs. I'm telling you, it's going to be a soft field for NBA playoffs. There's going to be people over there that don't know what they're... And even if you don't think you know what you're doing for the NBA playoffs, come on over, right, to the DFS Army. Use promo code SAYS, get a 10% off our, get all the prop projections that we put up there and all the other fantasy football stuff and the dynasty stuff that you love.
All the great stuff. So yeah, of course, sign up at DFS Army as a VIP. We just had a 100K NBA winner last week. We're continuing throughout the playoffs. We're DFS Army VIPs, of course, get our draft kit and all our season long content. We're going heavy right now. Best ball rankings, all of that stuff. So we're really in the heart of prep for NFL season, but we still have our golf going, our NASCAR is going, MLB is starting to peak right now. So non-stop DFS action over at DFS Army. Get signed up over there. Promo code SAYS gets you 10% off of VIP, baby.
And we'll be back next week. We have some really cool topics that we've lined up for fantasy football, man. If you love dynasty fantasy football, if you're in your rookie drafts, if you're doing best ball leagues right now, you need to make sure you click the subscribe button to make sure when we put up live videos, you get a notification. And that also, if you like to consume your podcast via the audio, subscribe to the DFS Army podcast feed. And in addition to all the other DFS Army podcasts, you'll get this Dynasty podcast. It'll populate into your feed.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing this every week. And then I think in July 4th, we start going to 2 weeks, right?
We're focusing on position groups and your regular season-long leagues and your yearlies. We're going to go away from Dynasty. We're going to jump into season-long. So
and the rankings are up. The draft kit's up. Go to DFS Army. Go check out the draft kit. All of our rankings for Dynasty, for best ball, for rookie drafts, it's all up there. So if you're listening and you're a DFS Army member already, just go to the draft kit. It's all in there for you.
There we go. I love it. All right. For season-long says, and for myself, Kevin Allen, a.k.a. The Geek, we'll see you next time. Good luck, everyone.
The best coaches in the game, we really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie.